It's here.
We got Jeff.
Hey.
We've got Jeff. It's Monday. We've missed you.
It's been 3 weeks-ish.
It's been a month.
We did July 3rd from the hotel lobby.
It feels like it. That was...
That's commitment. That's nice.
The background noise. I don't know what lobby you were in.
I'm assuming you didn't listen. You didn't miss much.
Obviously not.
It was so quiet the night before. I'm like, this is a perfect spot. And there was a travel baseball tournament staying at the hotel.
Oh, man.
So when we were recording, it was like kids swinging their bats at each other.
It was rough.
It was bad.
It was so bad.
But here we are, like in the actual studio space.
We're here. We're back. Andrew was preaching at camps back to back to back. That's not true. It was one camp.
One camp, four nights. No. It was a camp up in Andalusia, Alabama. Our buddy Matt Hall hit me up, and it was awesome.
So how'd
Matt,
you do?
I don't know if... Dude, we should talk about that after we do like the silly intro stuff. But
really, that good? We haven't really talked much.
We haven't. At one point, I checked my phone. It had been like a week since I had even gotten a text message from you. We were on vacation, man.
We've been on separate vacation schedules because you were back, I was out, I was back, you were out.
But then yesterday was Sunday.
And this?
This right here?
Is the morning after.
Welcome to the Morning After Ministry Show, a caffeine-fueled look back on the week and ministry that was.
Why am I too tall?
Sometimes you just have the audio, not the video for the intro. It's cool.
Which is going to be fine for
it's
the podcast.
It's fine. It'll work great for the dozens and dozens of podcast listeners.
The tens of listeners.
It'll be fine.
Riley says, I feel... the lack of communication from Andrew.
Okay, so I think Riley sent me a text message.
Wow. So like, you had your read receipts on. He saw you read it.
I took a picture of Riley peeing on the outside of the church when he was like 3 minutes away from getting married. He had, that nervous tinkle. And we were like outside waiting to come in. And I was like, I gotcha. So, but I, quickly snapped a pic to hold it over his head for forever. And he sent me that picture. He was like, hey, 5 years ago today, because this is his anniversary. But I had driven 1,300 miles the day before.
Oof.
And so I like rolled over, saw that my phone was vibrating. I was like, huh? And then didn't reply. I'm sorry, Riley. I still love you.
That's hurtful.
And I don't know that you're ever getting a job at that church ever again, because there's photo evidence of you peeing on the side of the building.
CJ says either Jeff is as tall as Frank or he's just a really tall
stool. I'm sitting on Andrew's preaching chair. That's what's happening here.
That's not true. You're just bigger than us.
Speaking of Andrew's preaching chair.
This chair is a little taller, though.
I did not fall off the stool, but yet, so yesterday.
There was a text. I thought you were joking, and you're like, no, I'm really hurt.
Like
you
injured
yourself? I sent a mean text about wanting to film it and then realized, oh, he might have torn his ACL.
Wait, is it on film? Like, is it on the live stream?
So it was what had happened
was. If it
was,
we obviously would have been shocked.
100%. Our worship leaders were out yesterday.
Don't blame
and
the
so we
leaders.
We had
yeah,
a,
why you gotta throw them under the
I'm,
bus
I'm
like
not.
That?
So we had a fill-in.
So I had to do so much more.
No, yeah. We had a fill-in worship leader, and so when I walked in about an hour before service started, the side screens weren't on because I had the slides for the lyrics with me, and so or in my Dropbox that hadn't been logged into yet. So I was like making small talk, and I was going to check in, but I was holding my laptop, iPad, and Bible in one hand. And a glass of water in the other, and I was walking, and one foot I assumed was going to land on the stage, and it landed not on the stage, and I kept walking, and just fell like face first.
Did your wife see it?
No, it was like the eight people in the praise team, and so it was like the immediate
drop silent.
Oh, like, oh yeah, somehow my water didn't spill, so that was good.
Wow,
but
didn't spill the beer.
I was like. I was convinced that I was bleeding through my jeans mid-service. And
you might be internally bleeding.
I might have done something to my MCL, which whatever one's in the back.
But your laptop's obviously
my
fine.
Laptop was like, I didn't.
iPad's good?
I shielded everything with my body.
Your knee will heal.
And, but it was pretty embarrassing. It was pretty embarrassing. And then every time I've put any weight on my knee for the past 15 hours, I've just been like, that was stupid.
What's the most embarrassing thing that's happened on a Sunday morning to you? In front of people, like
I was like, that's up there, but it was just in front of.
It's not as bad.
Right. It was in front
the
of
live stream
the
wasn't
band.
Rolling. There wasn't 100 people in the room.
I'm sure I've stumbled over some words and said something funny.
I've got two stories if you want.
Well, I want them desperately.
Okay, so this is the one that happened to me, like a few years ago. So after the service, we will pretty regularly offer to pray with people and anoint them with oil, because that's like our thing, right?
It's biblical.
Yeah, biblical. And so I had a pair of like khaki joggers on. Remember when joggers were cool?
I do.
Still wear them.
Yeah, I still would, but I don't have this pair anymore, and you'll find out why in a second.
I like where this is going.
So they were sitting on the front row in, you know, typical church chairs. And so it was an older member, and I had a couple elders there with me. And the elders were kind of – one was behind the person that was in front of me, so they would be facing me.
Sure.
And this was after service, right after service was over. So there were still people kind of milling around. I wasn't in the front, like, with everyone looking at me. But I knelt down on one knee, mm-hmm. and, like, my entire inseam on the leg that wasn't the knee on the ground ripped from crotch to knee. Just like blew open. So I thankfully am a pastor of a small church that has a parsonage. Oof. So I immediately, the one elder saw it and started shaking from laughing because another person was already praying with hands on this person. So I stood up in the middle of the prayer, walked to the back other door of the sanctuary, walked out like a door that nobody ever uses, and walked to my house, changed pants, came back, and like,
and they were still
only
praying.
That one person knew that. That only that one elder that saw it happen knew that that happened. Oof. So that's the first story. Second story is something my kid did recently that was pretty hilarious. So we have a small church, and the sanctuary is pretty small. And at the end of our service, after the live stream goes off, everybody kind of like greets one another, and then we take communion together. So it's a little less formal. And the kids come back in from children's church, and if their parents are good with it, they take communion as well. Mm-hmm. And so my two-year-old was kind of just walking around, like in the back of the sanctuary, while I was starting to give a couple of announcements and get into communion. And she took her dress off.
Oh, boy.
And smart. Started to pull her diaper down.
Yep.
And I am trying to do communion, and I just see her two little white little cheeks.
Oh,
and her whole
my.
Dress is just off and on the ground. And my wife didn't notice for a while, and I tried to just keep going, but then I started laughing because it was hilarious. And then my wife saw and, like, panic scooped her up and ran out of the room. And my wife...
This is the bread. Those are the buns.
Wow.
My wife later told me, when she scooped her up, that my daughter was, like, saying, "Nakey, Nakey," and, like, proud of herself for being naked. So that was pretty funny and somewhat could have been embarrassing.
You know, the familiarity that our kids have with the space is sometimes a problem.
It's like their house.
It is. It's home away from home.
I have to tell my kids, like, just don't take your shoes off in the worship center. Right. Like, yeah. You know, it's like, it's,
yeah, you don't
you
need
can take
to
your shoes
up.
Off in daddy's office.
That's
you
fine.
You don't need to.
Like, scooters are allowed in the worship center Monday through Saturday, yeah. But not on Sunday.
Sunday's a little different.
Matt. Let's keep the embarrassing stories going. Matt Coyne says, "I tripped over an XLR cord a few months ago on the stage and fell on a stand-up bass and broke it."
Oh,
and the stand-up bass is from the 1940s. Oh. It's legit the one the guys have been using since he was 10 years old.
Like upright bass, like a cello upright
yeah,
bass.
That's serious,
oh my
Matt.
Gosh, man.
I love the story, but I feel terrible for you and your friend.
Does your insurance cover that? How does that work? Like, is that a? Man. I have a personal ministry budget for the stuff that I break.
Like, we are actively reshaping our stage right now, putting cord covers down just so.
It looked great.
We're working on it. We're getting there. This was week two of the new stage layout, so you saw it.
It was
which
nice.
I was not clean. Preaching yesterday, but Jeff, you were at Lakeview. Mm-hmm. What was it like attending not only another church, but also with your family? Like, you sat next to your wife in
it
church.
It was nice, yeah.
When's
nice.
The last time you just sat?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I really don't remember.
It's been a while.
I got to tell you this, though. As critical as I've been, them drums sounded good, though.
So
we
did move to an electronic drum set, which I get for most drummers is like
anathema.
It's you just, but
they look good too.
I told Jeff, I hear what you're saying, because he texted me right when we did it about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. I said, Jeff, you're coming to Lakeview in 2 months.
I was very just, negative about it.
He was.
I repent.
For the record, when we knew that Jeff was coming that date, I was like, hey, our worship leaders are out of town. You want to, you know, pay for a couple of tanks of gas for your trip?
Said,
and he's
nah,
like,
dude.
No, I'm going to Tim's church.
It
I've
wasn't
been
about
to,
Tim.
I've
about
been to your church.
Church with his family. Which he got to do.
I get it. His mother-in-law goes to Lakeview. It's fine.
And it was her birthday weekend.
Oh, that's sweet.
You got to do it.
You got to do it. And we did not tell your mother-in-law that I wasn't preaching. None of us had the heart to tell her. She was so excited to bring her family.
She was.
Was she a little bummed that it was guest preacher? Was she okay?
I don't know. I haven't had a conversation
with
her about it after, which
is
probably positive.
Yeah, that's great. I'm so glad to hear that.
We attended Lakeview, heard a very rousing missions preacher.
Dude, he's a grassroots. I'm just
going to. He did a great job.
He's awesome. If you don't know
Chipotle after, it was good. And what's crazy is like your service is at 9:30 and mine's at 10:45. So we were like back in the car before church normally starts.
You could get the live stream and make sure everything was working.
Oh, did you hop on your live stream?
While I was at Chipotle, I just pulled it up and it was still the end of the service and the right person was up on the stage.
So I need to make sure.
I scrolled back and just wanted to see like how did the audio sound. Sounded great and I turned it off.
Good for you.
That was it.
See, it's so hard to do
being
that.
In a different time zone it's the past hard. Couple Sundays, I watched church, like, you know, kind of did some troubleshooting stuff. The person that runs our live stream most of the time is a 15-year-old girl, and she does a tremendous job.
Yeah.
But the week before we left, we had been in the fellowship hall, and so we changed the mic setup. So they started, and I was like, oh, no, I know exactly how I messed up.
Mm.
I had left the ATEM set on mic input instead of line input.
One button.
Mic and line.
And so
it's a big deal.
I'm trying,
it's a big
but
deal.
I'm trying to watch someone who has never run ATEM software through changing that, like, over text message while the service has already started.
Because you couldn't FaceTime once the service started.
But we got it, and she killed it. And so then, like, we're like, all right, and we're good.
Wow.
And so then the first week, Lukey, my oldest son, and I went and visited a church that is legitimately the biggest church in the county that my in-laws live in,
mm-hmm.
which means there were maybe 120 adults in worship. And, you know, just to try to glean some ideas from...
So this was not the mall church.
This was not the mall church. So I feel bad about the mall church guys.
You know, you should tell the mall church guy, try that in a small town, you know.
He's literally trying that in a small town. The fog machines,
I knew it was coming up. I was
and,
like, who's gonna say it first?
The fog machines and LED lights play one way in a big town, they might play differently in a small town.
Wait, there were fog
they
machines.
They look good on a stream though.
There were two fog machines
in the
That's
mall church.
Too many. Come on, dude.
There were two There was some haze, so they could light
lasers.
The air.
Lasers would have been a good touch too.
Andrew, so, I haven't been to one of your services yet on a Sunday.
Yes, you have.
In the fellowship hall.
In the fellowship hall.
Okay, but I just want to tell Tim this. Yeah. I love your lighting because it's like it's the stage is lit, but it doesn't.
But it's not distracting.
It's not. It's just like
it doesn't look like
light.
You're in a club.
Yeah, yeah.
Bottle full of bub, mama.
Can I tell you
got
something
you need?
Funny? My daughter said,
"Please do,"
and I agree with her.
Yep.
So my 8-year-old daughter has started running slides for us from time to time, which is really fun.
Yep.
And
hey,
yesterday,
hang on, Big Bass is watching on a rare Monday. Big Bass, I love you, buddy.
Big Bass, great job yesterday. Big Bass, our worship leader right now.
Oh, nice.
His name is Big Bass because we were at a Dave and Buster's once and he won the Big Bass game. And
well, this is for him too then because my daughter said during the singing, my daughter says fairly loudly, I really like how they have old people playing the music. And there were several who looked to be boomers in that band.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
And then I turned around to the booth and there was some like young teenagers back there. And I was like, look, Journey, they got kids running stuff too. Pretty cool, right?
So
multi-generational.
Nice.
I love that.
Kudos for that.
Oh, that's great.
I believe it was a McDonald's on our way home from the trip. And they were playing, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this artist. Her name is Taylor Swift.
Who?
They were playing Love Story in McDonald's, and
never heard
Lewis, my 7-year-old, said, Dad, I know this song.
Was that
is this
Taylor's version?
I'm sure.
Hopefully.
But Lewis said, Dad, I know this song. Is this one of the songs that we sing at church? And I said, yes, son, it is.
This is what Daddy listens to on the way to church every single Sunday.
Oh, I've been told
thing.
That Jeff needs to hold
right.
his.
I get,
it's
you got
almost
it.
Like you're using a video mic.
You got it. I got it. It's right here. This is good.
That's the setting we were hoping
it looks
for, Jeffrey.
Great. Looks perfect.
It's the rubber band that really does it for me.
Andrew, we haven't talked about this yet, but you were texting me a couple of days ago because you were asking for a manuscript for a text that I preached in John.
Yes.
So walk us through what you're doing in your preaching time right now.
We are – I am trying to make a conscious effort for probably – I don't know how long I'm going to keep this – rotation up, but I'm trying to go Gospels, Epistles, Old Testament, and kind of, you know, going in a, so that I'm not, because, Timmy, we know how much I love preaching Old Testament narratives.
Old Testament narratives, fine.
Give me an Old Testament narrative all day, every day.
We have just been doing New Testament, Old Testament, so we've been flip-flop.
And so, but for the Gospels, we've, you know, post-Easter, we did all of Jesus' encounters with people post-Easter.
It's good. I like that.
And so... we're back on Gospels right now, and so we're kind of doing a New Testament survey kind of thing where we are doing a 1-week for each gospel, what is the main point of
this
gospel.
I like it. I think it's a great idea. So I really like that idea.
And,
I like that.
And truthfully, it's Tim and I share a login for Ministry Pass. Tim, I don't know how often you actually use it for their excellent graphics packages. And the,
weekly.
I would say the content is pretty weak, but the graphics package was awesome.
Yeah.
And so
for
I was
all
looking
my sermon
at
series,
the graphics packages.
Yep.
And I was like, ooh, this is a brilliant idea. So a couple months ago, I started working on it. And so we did.
So they did have a graphics package for the gospel overview, the gospel's overview?
Yeah, it's called Mosaic.
I love it.
So we're doing.
I love it.
So we did John, and then we're doing Mark, and then Matthew and Luke. So I don't know why the order is that way, but it works and it's pretty. So
nice.
That's what we're doing.
I like it.
And then, bumper videos too.
There's a bumper video.
It does
video.
Come with a bumper.
It's not a good bumper video. It's
like but you guys don't typically do bumpers.
No, that's just not us. The bumper video is, and I'll show you afterwards. But it's almost like they just animated the Illustrator files.
Yeah, I do that sometimes for sure. We actually stopped using bumper videos because we now moved the greeting time to between the singing and the sermon so that kids can leave to go to children's church too.
Okay, but real world question for you for the greeting time in the live stream. What do you have your cameras on during the greeting time?
A countdown. We put a countdown on the screen during greeting.
That's a nice graphic.
That is nice.
It was a really pretty graphic. I'm like, ooh, okay.
I really like that a lot.
I can send it to you if you're interested.
Maybe I'll do it next year.
Yeah.
We do like a couple songs, a prayer, giving, a couple more songs. And then we recently been doing the Apostles' Creed right after that. Cool. And then we will say like, hey, greet one another, and kids, you're dismissed at Children's Church.
That's cool.
And a 2-minute countdown goes on the screens, and that goes on the live stream.
So
I like that.
We don't need a bumper video to come back from that. You just go right into it.
My oldest started at a Lutheran middle school last year because it's very close to our house, and the middle school that we wanted him to go to, he was on the wait list for. And so we were like, oh, do we want him to be at this Lutheran school? And it's been so good. I will like hear him like playing with Legos, you know, mumbling to himself. I'm like, what is, and he is just like reciting the Apostles' Creed to himself. I'm like, this is a win.
That is a win.
You know?
Take that.
We'll have some.
We'll take that
boy
all
getting
day.
Catechized over there. I like
and
it.
And you know what? For someone who's not all the way neurotypical, or you know, whose brain works a little bit differently, some of the, I don't want to say rigid, but the formality of a high church thing like that is so good. And it just makes sense for him.
My daughter knows the words of institution from communion.
There you go.
We say it every week, which is pretty fun.
So I end with the same benediction every week, you know, from Ephesians, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly. And so I'll look, and there's a middle school girl that like mouths it as I'm doing it every week. I'm like, that's a win. She's memorizing one of Paul's prayers, whether or not she realizes it.
I was walking my dog with my 8-year-old daughter just a few weeks ago, and it was after church on a Sunday, and she said, Daddy, did you know that Jesus isn't only God's son, Jesus is also God himself. Like, that was a Sunday school.
And you were like, dang, we're killing it.
I'm like, let's go, Lakeview. Like, I'm like, that was profound. I loved it so
Riley
much.
Has
I
a
like
question
this.
For us.
All right, Riley's question is this. Series for the entire summer versus multiple series throughout the summer. And I'll go first. We are one big series. However,
You guys are doing like 50-some weeks of John, right?
We finished John. We're in Galatians.
Okay, that's right. And how many weeks are you going to be in Galatians?
It'll be somewhere between 12 and 15. But for guest preachers, I'm kind of giving them the freedom to do something else. That way it is a break in the summer months because we miss 2 or 3 Sundays during the summer. But we do have one big summer series. However, guest preachers do something different.
I've done 2 different 10-week series over the summers. One was...
We did one together.
Did we do Exodus together? What did we
Exodus.
Do?
Exodus, yep.
And that was great. But then again, you feel like you either can't miss or.
I know.
It's a weird thing. We did one that I really liked a couple years ago, but you could probably only do it every 4 or 5 years, was Summer in the Psalms. Mm-hmm. And so it looks like a cohesive series, but each, you know,
it's a
bunch of standalone Psalms sermons.
Summer in Psalms every summer for
you could,
most
for,
of your
you
life.
Do Proverbs like that too.
Could probably do Psalms for at least 15 summers if you were doing 10 psalms a summer.
And if you're staying at that church for 15 summers.
But then eventually you're going to...
Proud of you.
There are some psalms that you really just don't want to preach.
Yeah.
The late, great Howard Hendricks said, all scripture is equally inspired. It's not all equally applicable.
Oof.
We don't tend to think of it in like summer seasonal stuff, but I just do books and however long it takes. But I do intentionally schedule in standalone one-off
Like for you times. To preach or for guest preachers?
For guest preachers, yep. Even when I'm there.
Me too.
At least once every 5 to 6 weeks, someone else is preaching.
Yep.
Sometimes they will want to preach in the series. And so, you know, because we're smaller, we only have 3 or 4 other people that could do that. So I know way ahead of time. But I intentionally would be like, nah, just do a standalone, whatever you want to do. So this Sunday when I was gone, one of the ladies in our church preached, and she just kind of, she's very involved in missions in an international organization. So she like touched on that, and it was great.
I love that.
It breaks it up.
Doesn't
feel like we did 53 weeks in John, even though we did.
Right. Do you ever just add a week because you know someone's going to need a rebuke, so you want to just prepare in advance? Like, hey, in about 6 weeks, I got to rebuke a couple gossips in the church, so we're gonna put that on the calendar.
Anytime a rebuke is needed, somehow the text just lines up perfectly for it.
It's funny how that works.
I'm always like, how? What? I didn't even plan that.
Then you almost feel like if I say this, they're going to think
I'm like, I would have said this either way.
This has been on the schedule since Christmas, guys. It just so happens that the Holy Spirit is mad at you.
Big Bass says, that bumper video gives me the time I need to carry up the 80-pound awkward wooden podium. Andy, miss you, buddy. He says, our guest speakers are only allowed to speak over Revelation, tithing, or Judas's demise.
I like that.
Can I brag on Andy for a second?
We miss you, Andy.
My sister-in-law, who is not a church person, was talking to me about this podcast that she's been listening to.
Go on.
And
it's called The Morning After Ministry Show?
No, it's not called The Morning After Ministry. But it is Ninjas Are Butterflies.
I think it's called My Books Make Great Coasters.
Tim, why you got to bring that up?
Try that in a small town, dude.
I'm just saying that
yes!
I got to have like a gospel conversation with my sister-in-law when she was like, wait, how do you know these people? Because of a podcast. And there are really cool ways that you can point people to Jesus all over the internet. There's also really cool ways you can point people away from – not cool. There's bad ways.
I don't think there's
– I know
what you meant.
Saying that it was like my wife was like, did you really just get to have that conversation all because of a silly podcast? Podcasts are important, people.
Andy says, watch your mouth, Tim. All caps. He's shouting. Earl says, there's only one guest speaker I will ever listen to.
We don't know who it
dot,
is now.
Dot,
there's
dot.
A dot, dot, dot. We cannot wait to hear who that is. Guys, I need some advice from you this week, though.
I'm ready.
I don't know if you know this, but we have 2 interviews scheduled. I've got one tonight and one on Thursday night. So I'm going to need your best, most ridiculous interview questions.
You need to arm wrestle somebody.
Ministry in your church?
I have 2 internal candidates. We're interviewing them both this week, our youth pastor position.
Okay.
Tonight is the first. Thursday night is the second. So, I mean, if you're going
to... questions for a youth pastor?
What should I... Can I ask them something that's going to just throw them off?
Is this with just you, or is it with the search committee?
The whole search team. Steph and I have already taken them out to dinner and gotten to know them, and they've spent about 6 months in youth ministry with me, so I know them fairly well. One of them was actually at Yellow Card last night, sitting a couple of rows behind us. So, do I intentionally throw them off their game?
Dude, they saw you at Yellow Card. They think they're 100% hired.
I think you sit back and let the committee do the thing.
I've already told the team.
Yeah.
They submitted their questions in advance. I said, guys, I've already interviewed them personally, so I know where they're both at. I want to hear from you. So the team's going to be doing the interviewing.
I think, especially in a senior pastor-centric church, and I'm not saying like out of necessity.
Wow.
I'm saying
that was like a blow.
No, it's Tim.
Why you got to go there?
How often do you give me crap about doing all the things?
I'm just saying, this guy saying senior pastor centric to you when his live stream doesn't work if he's not here.
It worked beautifully for 2 weeks when I was gone.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is I've never played drums in the service and then got up to preach.
Riley says at his last church he was asked about his opinion of Tiger Woods.
I mean, that's a good question.
And Earl says, obviously, the prophet to America.
Oh, that's his guest speaker.
That's funny.
All right, back to the interview questions. I need to hear them.
But I'm just saying, Timmy, you have done a whole lot the past few years in a post-COVID world out of necessity.
Slightly.
And I think it's
last 6 months even more.
Yeah. And I think it's a really good way to be like, no, I'm trusting the process committee that you have been appointed by the elders or whoever.
Yep.
So I say you pump the brakes and say, committee, this is yours. I have opinions on these dudes already.
Steve says, quote, why are you the way that you are?
It's a good question.
It's a great question.
I mean, it's kind of a serious question, but like a good question to ask is like, what are you going to do when you get told no?
Well,
you know.
Yeah.
Because
if you have a great idea and you want to run with it and the elders say no, ooh, what you going to do?
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. I'm writing that down.
It's a very good question.
Steph said, did I ever tell you about the time when someone asked me if Austin Norton was the t-shirt guy who gave you COVID from the Hot Wings Challenge? I was like, no, that's a guy named Andy. They're both watching right now, so I figured I'd share. They don't
remember
even
that
look
time
that similar.
We didn't get COVID?
Do you remember when Tim...
Eventually you guys did.
Do you remember when Tim asked me if my COVID vaccine came with a Biden-Harris sticker? And then he got COVID so bad that he was in the hospital for 6 days?
No, but it came with a coaster.
Remember when I was in a golf tournament and I looked out and saw the hospital you were in and texted you jokingly, but you were really there?
Do you remember when I was afraid
that I was going to have to like somehow steal your phone and then use your face at the funeral for Face ID to delete all of the inappropriate things I had texted you? About
texting
you.
My wife, like, yeah.
I was
you
like,
wanted to make sure no one saw the
I had
text
to make,
message he sent me
I
while I was in the hospital dying.
I did not want Steph to see how much I was mocking Tim because he was so mean to me when I got vaccinated. He was so mean. And then
in a loving
and then
joke.
Three weeks later, he was almost dead.
Wow.
Steph says,
hey, wait, we've had like a – we've had – two different like mini outbreaks
a resurgence of COVID
in the church in the past month. And it's like a different strain, but
it's like the legit flu.
But yeah, people are still pretty miserable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
COVID's terrible.
I have never felt worse
in my life.
I got sick for like a month in October last year because I think it was probably COVID. I don't know, but it was like a good 4 or 5 weeks of being like down. It was rough.
CJ says, obviously, you should ask the all-important question. It's been a while since we've gone here, guys. What is waffle stomping?
You didn't have to read that.
Had to. For those who've been watching a long time, you know what
it
is.
You should try waffle stomping in a small town, though.
Oh, yeah,
You're not going to try that.
Steph says, I'm stealing that question. Thank you for that.
Ooh,
Jeff.
Hey, because I'm looking at the clock and I know what Tim's schedule is, so in the DYM comments or in the DYM Facebook group, Derry was asking a question about responses at summer camp this year. Timmy, you had 40-some kids at summer camp.
We did. We took 45. It was wild.
Is that why you're so tan?
Dude, I'm so tan right now.
But Derry was saying that, you know, he seems to notice kids being extra sensitive to moves of the spirit. Mm. The first couple nights of camp, I was like, dude, I am killing it. Like, should I just like resign and be a full-time evangelist? Like, it was that kind of response.
It's like every night is Thursday night.
It's what it was. It was like
Cryfest every night.
It was Thursday night happening on Tuesday.
Wow. Dude.
And I was like, dang, what's going on?
What's
going
to happen on Thursday?
And then on Thursday, I'm like scrolling through Twitter with the very limited Wi-Fi that I had at camp.
So bad. We couldn't even talk.
And I got Shane Pruitt, right? That's his name?
That's him.
Was talking about, you know, how like they're like tracking it because NAM and they track stuff and how they're seeing like a 30% to 40% increase of spiritual decisions by students at camps, like across the board this summer. And they're trying to quantify, like, is it, hey, we have kids that didn't go to camp for a couple summers. And so kids that probably would have responded as freshmen are now responding to the gospel as juniors or
could be
it's the COVID comeback, baby.
The COVID gospel comeback.
You've had kids that, you know, have not participated in corporate worship for several years. And now they're getting the best there is to offer of corporate worship for students.
Youth band's been practicing hard for 2 years. I mean,
Tim, do you remember when we had Lauren Daigle lead us in worship at camp before she was Lauren Daigle?
Oh, yeah.
That was cool.
Way cool. I definitely pick up on what you're saying. We had 12 of our students like make serious decisions for Christ.
That's 25%.
It was wild. Some of which, like, some happened during Cryfest, which ours was on
Wednesday,
not Thursday.
So that Thursday could be the empowerment go home.
And then some were afterwards, like just personal conversations where, hey, I didn't stand up, I didn't raise my hand, but the Lord moved like this way in my heart. And I was like, you know, sophomore, junior, using that kind of language. I'm like, dude, what is going on?
Weird for me as the speaker, because typically when I've like gone to camps as a speaker, it's been my kids were there, it's been middle school camp or whatever. Yeah. But so to have like, you know, 18-year-olds with tattoos, like, you know, getting right with Jesus, which is awesome. But then I'm the speaker, so they're going to their youth pastor. I'm like, what? Like, do I leave? That part was kind of, that was.
You feel left out a little?
Not that I felt left out, but I felt kind of like, what am I supposed to be doing? Like, just throughout the week.
You needed someone to talk to because you too made a decision.
Well, yes. Sure.
Many.
Tons. But it was every other camp that I've been to, it's been like, you go. And by the way, you're also speaking.
Mm.
And this was, no, like, you're the speaker and that's
Cush.
That's it.
And you just got to hang out.
That's and then cushy. It was like hang out, yeah.
Which is the best.
Which was awesome. But also it was like you also know some of these conversations need to happen with their small group leaders and their youth pastor and not me.
Yep.
So
accurate.
Did you feel extra pressure to really have great messages since you didn't have anything else to do?
He always has great messages.
Also,
I mean, I know that, but
I showed up.
What sermon series did you reuse? So I had a better question.
Tim, I reused the first one we ever did together, which was Resolution.
Res Runner.
But
perfect.
So the theme
did
of
did you
camp,
bring your own stool to sit on?
No. So the night we got there, the tech guys.
Is that in your
so
rider?
It was like five churches kind of doing camp together.
Yeah.
And so the tech was mostly from one church.
Right.
You love to see
a
that,
lot
though.
Of the program was from a different church. And so the tech guys are like, cool. Why did they bring a stool? Like, I just
have
don't
you not seen this guy's
this.
Live stream.
And so the first night in the chapel set up, the like front couple sections were like facing each other with the chancel, if you will, because it was like historic Methodist chapel was, you know, to the, so they would have to turn their heads to look at where the stage would typically be.
Sure.
And so the first night I like grabbed the music stand and was trying to, and it was the shorter message, the intro to what we're doing kind of thing. And so then the second night I grabbed the stool.
Wow.
Did the full on Andrew, like sat down right in like
fireside chat
in the middle of all the kids.
That is what it is. Fireside
it's
chat.
Totally.
We
that
got,
is exactly
he pulls up Winston Churchill.
We got
every week fireside chat
into the
it.
Adult meeting afterwards, and the same, you know, 20-21 year old tech dudes are like, that were like, why did we bring a stool? We're like, man,
just wait.
That was so cool, just sitting in between all the kids like that.
Andrew is the coolest.
I was like,
I mean, everyone.
That's what I'm known for. I'm known for
literally.
The cool
everyone always says Andrew is the coolest.
It's not true.
Whenever we meet anybody, the that's the first word.
Especially
out of
when people like see me walking and falling, like just see me trip and falling just from walking on a stage.
Slamming.
Stephanie says well, 8 minutes, Timbo. Yes, I have to
that
go pick
guy
my daughter up
very cool.
From her high school
that's
technology
crazy.
Training. My daughter.
How do you have a high schooler? Your wife is 17 years old. How do you have a high school? That's not true. Her birthday was yesterday. So Steph's what, 23, 24 now?
Yeah, just turned 24.
Still crazy that you have a high schooler.
I've got no words.
I don't know.
I'm just trying to be the dad of a high school student. I mean, I was.
Hang on.
You've pastored for a long time.
Steve taught an elective at CIY Move last week for students.
Hey.
Feeling called into ministry. 10% of the camp attended.
Wow.
That's
wow.
super cool.
Riley says, my wife will be Emily's teacher.
Savannah
Riley, how
is
awesome is
teaching
that?
Freshman Bible.
We have been. This better be good because I have been like pumping this up. Emily, you're gonna love Savannah. I think she will.
Yes,
I'm stoked about it.
I mean,
this.
I've known Riley for what 20 some years,
and his wife's even
I like
better
Savannah
than,
better.
I was about to say,
I mean,
his wife's
so
even better.
It's you know how sometimes like you meet someone's spouse, and you're like, oh, really? And like, I'm gonna have to hang out with this person. The first time,
that's how it was when I met Melissa's spouse.
It's hurtful. The first time I met Savannah, it was like a 4th of July fireworks thing up in Arkansas.
I feel so left out.
And we were at a Buffalo Wild Wings, and she and I like went and stole garbage bags to because it was raining so bad. And I was like, this – Riley better not screw this up. So the day,
of all the things he screwed up, I'm just glad it wasn't this one.
I'm a
lot.
Yeah. There's been a few.
Oh, Muffin.
But Muffin. Oh, Reverend Muff. What a guy. Rev Muff.
You can't say that.
Try that in a small town.
You cannot say that in a small town. Jeff, thanks for coming on. Let's do it again. You should come in town every other week.
Okay.
You got family here.
I'm going to be back in November and then
Let's
January.
Go.
So
what are you doing in November?
Sitting right here with us.
Hanging out with family, potentially a wedding.
Let's go.
Hey, big fan.
Same bat time, same bat place.
Hey, are we here next week? We're both here?
I'm here. You here?
Yeah. Let's do it. 11 o'clock-ish.
You
we'll
should.
See
you should join us. See you soon.
Later, everybody.